My name is Ray Park. You may know me as playing Darth Maul in the Phantom Menace, Clone Wars, and also Solo at Star Wars Story. You're listening to Star Wars Stuff Podcast, The Force is Strong with You All. And remember, Sith Walk.
Hey, this is Dominic Pace, who plays Gecko the Bounty Hunter from The Mandalorian, letting you all know you are listening to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast. Wishing everybody all the best, and may the Force be with you.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Star Wars Stuff Podcast, where we talk all things Star Wars. My name is Colin.
I'm Hunter.
I'm Josh.
Star.
Wow, we actually all said our names at the correct time this week. Wow.
Didn't overlap.
It's amazing.
Wow. This week in news, besides the trailer for Mando Season 3, which we did a breakdown for it yesterday, it's on all streaming platforms. Go and check that out. There is also the announcement of the not all of them, but some of the directors for Season 3 of The Mandalorian. And then we have the newest episode of The Bad Batch that just came out today. It definitely was a world-building episode. It also did give us more time with Tech, Wrecker, and Omega. And we also kind of went back into that. It wasn't pod racing, but it definitely felt like it was paying homage to it. It also did pay homage to the movie American Graffiti and the movie THX, which that was some of George Lucas's first early projects. I'll definitely talk about the Easter eggs on that. But let's get started with the breakdown. Josh?
Awesome. All right. So this episode is titled Faster.
Why?
Do you guys have any initial thoughts on the episode from what you saw to begin with before we start breaking it down? Do you guys like this episode? Did you enjoy it? I felt like it was definitely a nice pace after our last episode of it being quite an emotional downer to where we're here. And it's like a fun episode.
Yeah, I definitely really enjoyed it. It was a very abrupt shift from the tone of last week's episode. And in a way, like, I kind of wish they continued last week's storyline, because I want to know what's happening across here. But at the same time, I did enjoy this episode for sure.
Yeah, I definitely enjoyed it as an episode as well. Like Hunter said, I mean, I'm always going to be the person that says I'll enjoy a episode more if it has Crosshair in it. So, you know, there's always going to be that from me. But I liked the world building and stuff. I felt like getting to actually section people off from the Bad Batch was kind of fun to see. More screen time for like individuals.
Yeah, it's been interesting that we've been splitting them off this season. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so for this episode, we have Tech, Wrecker, and Omega, and they are basically getting a go to a I forget what it's called for. It's not a pod race; it's riot racing.
Riot race. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have a full little riot racing place. So. What did you think of seeing that we're getting racing back for Star Wars? I was very happy with that.
I think they were shooting for the early stages of what we see in the Resistance show, because all the way in the Resistance show, it's just like that, but it's with full out ships and they go through like a racing course. And I think they slowly kind of eased out of pod racing through the years. Even though pod racing was supposed to play a part in The Last Jedi, and they actually did build a set with a couple of pod racers in The Last Jedi, but we never got to see it. I really hope that maybe one day that we do get to see the stuff in the pod racing that was supposed to be in The Last Jedi. That's just me. But I loved pod racing. I loved playing the old games. I thought the old games were fantastic. I think I think the games were probably were probably one of the first ones where you could actually design your vehicle and go and race. Because I remember not just Anakin's pod racer, but just having like of going through every single alien in there. And not all the aliens are canon anymore in that game, but I just remember playing against my siblings. We just had a blast.
Yeah, that was definitely the first thing I thought of too. The episode one pod racer game, playing it on Nintendo 64. And there was... especially the tunnels and stuff, those neon signs, the same aesthetic vibes and stuff, and it was just fun to be in that environment again. The whole world building thing is awesome because it's Like, when you can tell when an episode has good world building and it just feels right, like it feels Star Warsy, and I think this episode hit that on the nose.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's the same thing about world building, where it feels like even just down to the details of like what they put on the walls and the art that they use and the tones that they use, the colors. Like, I love talking about animation. I'm gonna always bring it up, but their specific colors they use really got you into that episode one feeling of like, even though they didn't use the same course, really did a good job of just setting your world to go in and be like, wow, we're at a race. This is the kind of gritty Star Wars that we all know. Like, they did a really good job with that. And I noticed that immediately when they showed up on that planet. And I was like, this feels so Star Wars. Like, they did a really good job just sucking you in. So,
And then continuing in the episode, Sid basically introduces their racer. So the racer that they have in the race is named Teo. So what did you guys think of Teo's little introduction?
An
interesting droid.
Well, I thought it was very interesting because Tech was acting more like a droid in this episode, and then Teo was acting more like a very cocky racer, where and it was more human like than droid, I think it did use the word that he acts on instinct sometimes, and he was just not acting like a droid. He was not your normal like droid, and I thought that was a very interesting take on different droids that we see in Star Wars, because you've also got K2SO that's also not your normal droid, and he shows emotion, and Teo showed a lot of emotion in this. And the fact that he gets just beaten the crap out of so many times in this too is also kind of funny. Because he talks up game on how he's this great racer, and then he just keeps getting squashed. So I think it's funny, but yeah.
That is one of the things that I wanted, like, later in the episode, to when they're like, I have my racer, how funny would it have been if it was like Sebulba? So continuing the episode, they basically get down to the racing pit. They're talking to Teo, and we get one of the other racers, basically their team leader, comes in. I believe it is. I forget how to pronounce his species' name. It's Dawutan.
His species was also seen first in Force Awakens, but fun fact, he is voiced by Ernie Hudson, who was in Ghostbusters. And I thought that was awesome. I thought that was an awesome voice cameo, and the fact that we also had Ben Schwartz do the voice of Teo was also cool. And I love seeing more voice cameos in Star Wars, because I remember when they had David Tennant do the voice of the Jedi lightsaber builder droid. I loved that he came in. And there actually was that same type of droid that was seen in the Ahsoka trailer over at Celebration, so maybe David Tennant comes back and does that voice, and it's the same droid. Who knows? But I would love that.
That'd be pretty fun. Yeah. Continuing with the episode a little bit, so he basically proposes that a bet between the both of them, that his racer's gonna win over Teo's, and then Sid basically is just like, "Hey, you know, I'm totally down for this bet. We're definitely gonna win on our side." So. What did you think of their introduction of their little side of characters?
At first, it seemed like there wasn't really any personal history there at all between Sid and I forget the tall guy's name. But it just kind of seemed like he was a thug who kind of was the crime boss around there. And he was just bullying Sid into a bet or whatever. But we obviously find out later that they have some history there.
I'm curious with, like, at the beginning of the episode, she says she needs a security detail to come with her.
Yeah.
But she never says what she specifically needs them to do or what she is doing going there. And you can infer that she's going to maybe just like watch the race, but that doesn't seem very Sid-like to just be like, I'm just going to go watch it. So it makes me wonder, with him showing up at that point in the episode, like, what is her angle? Because she can't just be there to just watch a race, but she never discloses that. So when he shows up, I was initially like, oh, maybe he's just a thug. But then I was like, wait, she is here for a specific purpose. Like, she can't just be here to watch, you know? And so that made me be like, wait, what did she already know that made her go like, yeah, I'll take that bet. Like, so, but.
Because she knows him too, that definitely hints at her having a dark past. And I'm really curious of what she did because that also kind of hints to me that she might do something in the future that might betray the Bad Batch, and they might have to, you know, maybe go and leave her and the planet, and they might have to go find somewhere else. Which I'm fine with, because we know that will lead to more world building, and we'll probably go to a different planet we've never seen before, and they'll make a new hideout and everything. I'm just trying to think of what dark past that Sid had, because it's definitely hinted at in this.
I think we all probably assumed that she had a pretty shady history.
Oh yeah,
just being on Ord Mantell and running whatever operation it is that you want to call it. But it's, like, none of it's surprising, I guess, is my point.
Yeah, that's like how you become like a hustler and bar owners in this like crime world. So I'm assuming, her past is pretty deep in betraying people for financial gain, I would assume.
I mean, just going to throw this in here. Sorry, Bosk, but she is a Trandoshan. And so I could see where she had some like slaver history, since that's a Trandoshan kind of.
Yep.
That's very, very true.
Yeah.
Some of the things I wanted to. Some of the cool points that I wanted to point out, like, for this episode, there's a lot more comedy in this episode.
Yeah.
Something that actually got me like properly laughing. Cause like, Teo's comments are really funny. I also really liked how when the Riot Racers are scooting past, they shoot off some blaster fire and one of the crowd members. And everyone like stares at the crowd member. He like falls down. They just get back to it. They just like turn around like, okay.
Yeah, they also say that the racing company is not responsible for any disintegrations or something like that.
The announcer was pretty funny.
Yeah.
He had a lot of good one-liners, like when he was introducing tech.
Yeah, because of I feel like all the racers, which was also wild, because most of the racers were droids.
Some really cool droids.
Yes. And they all had cool names, and then at the end it was like, and tech. And then everyone just went silent.
Yeah. I really loved the mix of droids they had racing. Mm-hmm. Like, I loved that they had an old commando droid. I loved that they had, like, it was just super cool to see all of the smattering of them. Because it's not just like, oh, this is a racing droid. It was, like, really good world building.
Yeah. Lots of personality in them, too, with their paint jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, they look really cool.
There was one droid that also had a callback to Attack of the Clones of the C-3PO body swap, and I thought I thought that was a cool callback. I would also like to point out that I think they also had this racing episode to kind of pay homage to, like I said earlier, to George Lucas's kind of early to his early works, because his early movies definitely had involvement with cars and
trains, cars. That was his thing.
Yeah. I loved how they kind of brought that back into animation, and they were kind of hinting at that.
Yeah.
And just having racing and Star Wars is just cool in general. I remember seeing pod racing for the first time, and I'm like, this is awesome. Like, why is this not a thing? Like, I would love to, you know, I would definitely go to races like that where they would come on through and the guy would just be, oh, here's a wrench, and throw it behind him and just blow up another pod racer. Be like, oh, that's so cool. And I love how it's pod racing, but it's evolved. A part of me wishes that it was pod racing, but I feel like maybe pod racing kind of got outdated over the years.
I think it's fair to also just throw it out there from a world building standpoint that there's more racing than just pod racing too.
Yeah.
Like we have NASCAR and Formula One and all that kind of stuff. I feel like in Star Wars, there's going to be even more types of races.
I know, but it's pod racing, man. It's classic.
Now this is pod racing.
This is pod racing, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, continuing in our episode, we have our little race going on, the wager race. We get a bit of a Chekhov's gun of the three tunnels and deciding which one to go down. We have one that is crossed off like they shouldn't be going through it, which is pretty funny because that's also it has the same blocking piece that it does in Phantom Menace. So I thought it was pretty funny. Continuing on, Teo's entire ship gets destroyed after they pull off a little maneuver. The two racers pull off a little maneuver to knock him out. Going forward from this race, they end up, they fully end up losing. So, it's completely like, oh, geez, I've got myself into something like really, really bad at this point. So, this is basically our inciting incident. Do you guys think that they were going to be able to repair him from the beginning? I was like, oh, okay. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, I guess Tech is just immediately.
I kind of figured that Tech would take over right then.
Mm-hmm.
They hinted at that at the beginning of the episode with the sassy back and forth between Tech and Teo. So I saw that coming, and I didn't expect Teo to come back even for the short amount of time that he did.
I think the way that he gets brought back and it's just like, I'm going to win this race. You have no idea what you're talking about. And then he just gets hit. Like just full out and just explodes and
that was my favorite part of the episode.
100%. I did like his character. I like hope it's not the last time we see him, but you know who knows. But yeah, Teo. How did you all feel about his personality? Way that he acted more human than he did a droid.
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed it. Like Josh said, it had comedic value, which was a nice change.
Yeah. Star? I mean, I enjoyed that he was more human. His personality was funny, but it was annoying because he was like mean to Tech, but it wasn't annoying in a way that I didn't like it. It was like, you were supposed to be annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. You were supposed to be like, no, don't say that to Tech, you know. So like,
yes,
he served his purpose well.
Continuing on with the episode, we have the character come in. There's their second team to come in and collect on Sid's little bet wager. Since she's like, hey, like I'm good for the money, so she definitely doesn't currently have the kind of money that they need. So we have Omega basically step in and be like, hey, you know what? We'll get them all fixed up. We'll do a second race and it's a double or nothing bet. Which was pretty interesting to me because I was like, okay. Then they're like, hey, we're gonna take Sid as collateral for now. And then they keep the second team's leader basically ends up having a conversation with Sid. Which was pretty interesting, that it's hinting more at Sid's backstory, and I wonder. I really want to know if we're going to get more of her backstory.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely interesting for me.
We probably will, or at least more depth to her character in general.
Mm-hmm.
Up until now, she's really just been the person who assigns them missions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
She's been the video game character that you come back to after you complete a mission and then give you another one, which is a great role for her. Mm-hmm. I liked that they eventually ended up pointing out that, you know, she gets you in a lot of trouble, and this is not the first time that you've had to, like, pay for some mistakes that she's made, because that kind of opened her up, I think, a little bit as a bigger piece of the plot, you know, rather than just, like, not addressing it. And I really like that they pulled that in, and it's like, ooh, yeah, she's gotten the batch in some sticky spots.
Continuing on with the episode, they end up actually being able to, well, Tech actually ends up being able to repair Teo. And I did laugh at the whole, like, I have no arms and legs joke.
That was funny. I did laugh at that.
I also really like his animation. He's got so many different moving parts, and, like, his hands completely spin around. Mm-hmm. His face completely spins. I was like, wow, that's really cool.
In a way, his body reminded me of a car motor.
The centerpiece.
If that makes sense, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Continuing on, as you were talking about earlier, Colin, of showing how Tech is super calculated, like he's a computer, and this droid is basically night. No, it's all about feeling. All right, it's about the emotion you give to it, and it's skill. It's not about analyzing everything. So, yeah, Tech's trying to analyze the course. They basically end up having a full conversation, and that is up until Teo gets hit by another little pod that goes by.
I can't think of the movie, but that scene just reminded me of when it's a movie that Brad Pitt is in. It's like at the ending, he's like standing there. I think they turn it into a meme too, of where, like, he's standing there and he just gets hit by a bus, and then he hits another car, and he hops off the other car, and he hits another car, and hits another car, and then he falls to the ground. Because that just was just out of nowhere. I don't think I was really expecting it, because it was also ironic because they just fixed him too. So mm-hmm. I was like, oh, great. But I'm also glad that we saw Tech Racing because we're seeing more of his skills used, and we're actually seeing more emotion coming out of him in these first couple episodes of this season. I did not think that the racing that we saw in this episode was going to happen on the planet that it is, because from the trailers that we saw, I thought that was happening on Coruscant. I didn't even think that was a race. I thought it was like a speeder chase or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very happy that it just ended up being racing and stuff. And now I'm even more excited to see what they do in Coruscant.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, continuing on the episode, Tech ends up taking full control, like we all thought he would, and saying, like, hey, I will do the race now. So we get this gorgeous animation of their whole race sequence. What did you guys think of their whole race sequence that they had?
It was sweet.
Yeah, it was really cool. I'll go on about it a million times, but the fluidity with which they animate at this point is just it's mesmerizing.
Mm-hmm. I think the colors really made the race pop. This episode too, just the planet in general, there was a lot of vibrant colors, and you could see that in the background aliens as well. But the colors of the speeders and all the neon stuff, it gave it almost sort of a Tron feel, or like the Fast and Furious era where there was all the neon underglow for the street racers and stuff.
It's
a visually interesting style to bring out in Star Wars, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's always really easy with animation to, like, animate crowds and have all of the crowds be wearing brown, you know, and they did not cut any of those corners. And I loved that the walls were not just brown. There was not just a speeder that looked like this. There was everything. Like, they cut Like, they went right in. They're like, we want to make you immersed in this world. You've got this alien and that alien, and we're pulling out the stops. And that just, it was really, really neat.
The animation for Star Wars has come such a long way. Like, I mean,
Disney budget, baby.
Comparing it to the animation that we had for the movie in 2008 to
the original Clone Wars.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Like 2000. Okay. No, I actually did like that. I did like the 2003 animation.
Though. I did too. I love it.
Because that was the same as Samurai Jack. That, like, same
Andy Tartakovsky.
Yeah. And I loved that animation. And I was really excited when they announced the Clone Wars movie, and I didn't know what to expect. I guess the animation threw me off because at the time we never really saw any animation like that. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it was these characters that we knew from live action coming into, you know, this world of animation was very interesting. But then you just fell in love with it, like, even more. And for the people in Michigan, I'm not sure if you saw today, but speaking of Clone Wars, sounds like a Motor City Comic Con.
Yes.
We are getting Arnold James Taylor, Ashley Eckstein, and Matt Lanter. And that's awesome.
I didn't know this.
Yes. That's happening at Motor City Comic Con May 19th through the May 21st, which is also the weekend of my birthday. So it sounds like I might be going up to Michigan that weekend.
Sounds like you should.
But yeah.
Have to.
Yep. So, but yeah, no, it's just crazy to think about how far of the animation has come over the years, because it's just awesome. It's not that it's like more live action-ish. It's the fact that we're being even more immersed, and I think that just happens with every new animated show made by Dave Filoni, except Resistance. I could not do that animation, but that might just be me. But yeah.
So continuing on with the episode, we get Tech using his smart boy calculations, and he ends up dropping his weapons so that he can boost and basically try to take over the race. Then he ends up going through the tunnel, which I did laugh because half of it is completely destroyed. So it is a shorter way to get there. But he ends up using that he's a lighter weight ship now because he doesn't have any weapons, and basically glides in a circle along the tube to get there. But the other character that follows him in doesn't really make it, and I have no idea where that ends up dropping off to. That was pretty funny. I was like, oh, guess he's just gone forever now.
Yep.
Well, they did put the warning on, like, on the tunnel, so that's on him.
Mm-hmm.
Continuing on with the episode, they end up trying to pull the same kind of maneuver as they did for Teo. Tech ends up completely outdoing it. The other racers end up crashing, and the winner ends up being Tech. So, yeah, them ending up winning was pretty good. I did find it pretty funny after the race. So when they go to meet, how the rest of them are just the other goons are like straight up ready to fight.
I want to mention one of the goons, that Trandoshan punk. He was pretty sick. I enjoyed seeing him.
I wonder why. From the
trailers, we're gonna see some more Trandoshans later as well. But
yep. And I think that's because of the stuff happening on Kashyyyk, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I wonder if Sid could be involved in that.
Mm-hmm. It's awesome, but also terrifying because of the Trandoshans and the Wookiees are kind of like sworn enemies. I remember watching the episode, I believe it was season three, season four of where Ahsoka gets captured and then she ends up meeting Chewie, and then the Wookiees end up fighting the Trandoshans.
Yeah.
We're definitely getting that again, but we're going to be on the homeworld of the Wookiees, and I'm hoping to see full out action again in animation of where they're just ripping their arms off and just going out crazy. But it won't hurt the Trend Oceans that much because
they grow back.
Can just grow back.
Mm-hmm. So continuing with the episode, basically our other crime boss ends up giving them the our tech Wrecker and Omega a little bit of information, and basically letting them know, like, hey, you guys really stuck your neck out for her, but she definitely wouldn't do it for you. So it's interesting that we're foreshadowing this so hard.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm interested in seeing where that ends up going.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the end of our episode. Fun, sweet, and love the animation in this one. It was great, great fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you think about it, hinting that Cid may have ulterior motives about a group of stray clones that showed up one day and might be like using them makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Like,
who would have thought?
Who, like, they're not in a good spot, so they seem like pretty easy people to use, and so kind of makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. I want to say about the episode that I think it's interesting looking at the first four episodes how little of Hunter we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we focused the first two a lot on Tech and Omega and Echo. And, like, mm-hmm. I know him and Wrecker did stuff, but I felt like we focused more on the other crew. And then episode three, and then now this episode, he's not even in it. It's really interesting having Hunter take such a big backseat.
Yeah, that is an interesting choice. And I think before now, Hunter has been one of the main focuses, and part of it could be that they're just trying to flesh out the other Bad Batch members a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably also reasons to emphasize the other batch members for storytelling reasons, like something's going to happen later and it'll make more sense.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we're going to start to get another, like, other episodes that focus just on Hunter, and like next one might be just on Hunter and Echo or something.
I'd love that. Yeah. Well, I just think it's interesting to see the switch from the last season. Yeah. And it makes me kind of wonder, you know, if, like, I don't know if it at all has to do with any kind of reaction they've gotten. Like, I feel like everyone loves Hunter, so I don't feel like that's a, I'm just curious of, like, why the choice of the first four when you're trying to capture people and not having Hunter in it a lot. It's interesting. Yeah.
I'm hoping that for next week's episode that we actually go to Kashyyyk and we start that journey there, because I just want to see Gunji, man. Like, I just want to see Gunji.
I think both Star and I have other things that we want to see in Kashyyyk.
Yeah, I know, but come on, man. Like, you both were there. Like, we saw, like, Gunji just pop up on the screen. Look, and everyone cheered, man.
I love him. I love that cute little Wookiee, but he was not what I was most excited to see in that trailer.
Same.
No, it was still cool.
It was.
What were you most excited seeing in that trailer?
Gunji. No. It was all of the clones.
I was excited to see Cody. Probably Cody.
Yeah, it was Cody.
Probably Cody.
Cody and more commandos.
All of the stuff happening with the Emperor too, I think it's going to be very interesting. I think we will definitely hint at some of the cloning stuff going on for the sequels and possibly in the Book of Boba Fett, which we're also going back to Coruscant in the new season of Mando.
Yeah, which is surprising.
Yeah. I mean, I'm surprised, but I'm not surprised. Because this is something we definitely talked about too, but the Senate, I think, is getting ready to kind of switch over to the Josh, help me out. It's the planet from Force Awakens that gets blown up. It looks like Coruscant. Everyone thought it was Coruscant, but it wasn't Coruscant. It's something Prime.
Halcyon Prime.
Halcyon.
It's Halcyon because that's the. It has to be because
it's not Halcyon.
No,
it's Hosnian, something. I think. Okay, because someone was like, "It's funny that we call it the ship the same thing as what was blown up."
So. No, I think Hunter's right because I think it's Halcyon Prime, but not Halcyon Prime.
I wouldn't doubt that.
Yeah, but I think the first thing that popped in my trailer was, "Oh man, I hope it's Coruscant," but I could see it being Halcyon Prime because they are getting ready to move.
That's a good point.
Yeah, but. Hopefully it's Coruscant because we all love Coruscant.
I hope it's Coruscant because, you know, we got to see a ton of it in the Clone Wars. But like since then, I was like, any chance that we can see more Coruscant is like a different time period of Coruscant. Right. Like, I want to see it.
This will be a really interesting time for Coruscant because it's post-Empire and it's no longer the capital of the New Republic.
Yeah.
So, like, what are they doing? Is it just, I imagine it hasn't really changed all that much, but it's going to have probably a different vibe to it.
Yeah.
I think we're also going back to Coruscant for a brief second in the game Jedi Survivor, because in that first trailer that dropped at Celebration, we saw someone that looked like a Sith Inquisitor of some sorts that was in office on Coruscant, like in some type of dark office in Coruscant, which again, that game's coming out soon. We're so excited for that. But we have the new directors for Mando Season 3 that I wanted to talk about very quickly. Some of them are ones that have been on there before, like Bryce Dallas Howard. She's coming back. But there's and including Carl Weathers, which he's now very well known as the guy that let someone wear a pocket watch in one of the in the scenes in his episode that he directed, which I think is hilarious. And do you remember when someone made a mock above that for the 501st? Or no? I think it came on April Fool's Day in 2021.
I don't remember Gene's guy, but not the pocket watch.
Oh, well, yeah, because of he was wearing jeans, he like had the shirt, and he had the watch.
Oh, a wristwatch, not a pocket
watch. Yes, yeah, not pocket watch. Yeah. I'm sorry, man. I'm tired.
I do remember jeans guy.
Yeah.
Which they promptly fixed.
Yeah. Now all of your faces make more sense of why you were all confused. 10-4. Not pocket watch. I don't know what I was thinking. But the... One of the new directors coming in is Rick Famuyiwa, who made the movie Dope. And then there's
Rick has been, he's directed some of the past ones, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, I think really? He's been involved in both of the other seasons.
What episode?
Let me look it up really quick while we're looking at it here.
And then there's also, oh yes, yep. You are definitely right. He came back.
Yeah.
There's also Peter Ramsey, who directed Into the Spider-Verse, which is exciting.
Yeah.
Because that movie was incredible, and I'm excited for the new one coming out. And then there's also Rachel Morrison, who has directed a couple of things, including The Morning Show and The American Crime Story, but she's best known for being a cinematographer for Black Panther.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Interesting to see. Mm-hmm. I always love when we get new, like having different directors for every episode was a great option instead of just having it dedicated to one director doing the entire series. I found that to be really cool. You get everyone's little spin on things. So I've enjoyed that.
And then lastly, we have Lee Isaac Chung who directed Minari. I think that's how you pronounce it. and he directed the sequel to Twisters. Never saw it, but
can't say but, I did.
Yeah, but that's super exciting, and I know we all want to talk about which we did break down yesterday, but Star and Hunter, what were your favorite parts and your theories about Mando season 3 because the trailer dropped?
I liked seeing all the Mandos. Like, you know, we've seen, I mean, that's probably the most generic response ever, but I just like seeing all the different designs and being like, ooh, cool. Like, that's honestly, that was my favorite part.
I also loved seeing all the Mandos. That's probably what I'm most excited for this season, is the dive into Mandalorian culture.
Yeah.
Just because I've been a fan of that for forever with Republic Commando books. Mm-hmm. I am also super, super pumped about all the droids that we saw in that.
There
bar.
You go. There you go. I was going to be like, I thought you'd be more excited for all the droids, man. Because
yeah, we got to see. I am betting that this is the first time we're going to see full physical B1s on set. This is also the first time we've seen an R9 astromech, which is the one that has, there's like a, I don't know what you'd call it, a indented ring that goes all the way around, and then it's got some funkier panels and stuff, but an R9 series astromech that has never been seen on screen before. And then, yeah, it's, I think it's going to be some cool new thing. I don't know. It's just exciting. I get jazzed up about droids. You know me.
How many are you going to build from it? Did you start one already?
Or? Don't get me started.
I think that scene of where all the droids are sitting around was a future picture that was taken in Hunter's garage. That is just going to be.
I can only dream.
Just a bunch of droids.
I agree.
Now, do we think that is Babu Frick's workshop on Navarro, or do we think that's the cantina on Mos Eisley?
I don't think it's on Mos Eisley. I think it's going to be something to do with whatever Babu Frick's species is. Because has it been confirmed that we've actually seen Babu Frick, or is it just other
yes, his yes. species?
Okay.
Yes.
We first time we saw him was at the Mandalorian Plus panel.
Right, but I couldn't remember if it was actually him or just another droid mechanic of his
species. It was
little Frickers.
Yeah. It showed a shot of just him, and then the camera like kind of zoomed. It was like a different shot, and then it showed a bunch of his species, just working on droids and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so we definitely are seeing him.
It's going to be something to do with that for sure.
Yeah,
on whatever world that is, but I'm excited to see it wherever it is because there's a lot of droids that look cool.
Oh yeah, how do you feel about more stuff for Order 66?
I am both here for it and not sure if I am ready.
Jeez.
Same. Yeah. And I'm really surprised to be seeing stuff about it in The Mandalorian. Like,
that's what I keep saying.
Yeah. Not that I don't want it, but just it's surprising.
This might be an unpopular opinion, but at this point, that is the only thing about Grogu that gets me excited. Is to the see flashbacks to his past that are in the Clone Wars.
like ooh, clones.
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
Hey, look, he's cute, right. But you can only be cute and interesting for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. I agree.
I got a feeling that I know that we'll probably find out who saves him.
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably something that I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I'm thinking it's going to be Mace Windu. And the reason why I think that's Mace Windu is because that will maybe set up season 2 of the Book of Boba Fett, and then he will be the main antagonist of it. That would make the most sense to me, and that would be a great way to bring Sam Jackson back into the world of Star Wars, because he's been wanting to come back for a very long time, and that would be a perfect way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying.
But yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really everything for this week. There was not that much news besides the trailer. Okay, so at the end of the season 3 trailer, I mean, I watched it again. I'm still going on my theory from yesterday. But you know the creature at the end where, like, Grogu kind of shoves him out of the cave with the Force. What creature do you think that is? Because I'm thinking, because there was a rumor a while back that that there was going to be, like, a weird dark side-ish cross species of Yoda that was going to try and kidnap Grogu, of the planet that they're on, and that shot. And if you look at the feet, it looks very similar to Yoda's feet, except it adds, like, you know, maybe one more toe. But
yeah. I think it's going to be something new. They tend to like to do that in all the new stuff, introduce new species of aliens, which I think is fine. And I think it's cool. Yeah. I enjoy seeing new species, but I think it's just going to be something new. I don't know if it's going to be, but like in Book of Boba Fett, that four-armed sand monster thing, it's going to, I have a feeling it's going to be a monster of the week type deal. Okay. Like that.
It was wearing a electronic mask though.
Still, I think it can be just some monster being or whatever who's trying to stop Din and Grogu, and then Grogu comes to the rescue.
I would also like to see Cobb Vanth end up making a cameo in this as well. So then we just know he's alive, because I love Cobb Vanth. I thought he was a great character. And we know that he was being worked on in the end credit scene of the Book of Boba Fett. I could see them saving it for season 2 of for the Book of Boba, but I think it would be great to see him, you know, maybe kind of walk through the streets of Mos Eisley with Max Rebo, because we know Max Rebo survived too, and then just end up walking through the really I got no reaction out of any of you about my Max Rebo comment. That's probably the first time. Wow.
We're used to it at this point, Colin.
Yeah. Well, I just know he's alive, man. That's all I'm saying.
Look, he survived a sail barge. He can survive whatever happened at the sanctuary.
Exactly.
Yeah, anything.
Yep.
That's right. That's right. And from Josh, don't say anything. How many limbs does Max Rebo have?
Wait, who is that? Is that directed at
you and Star? How many limbs does Max Rebo have?
It's 4.
Yes, Star.
4.
Yes. There you go, Josh. Is there? No, it's not. He does not have 2. That was the original design. Hunter, Star, back me up.
That is the design. He's got like his legs up like this, and he actually
Right, and George Lucas thought that was way too complicated, because they had 3 puppeteers doing that in Return of the Jedi, and they already had 4 for Jabba, and he was like, that's way too much. Well, let's make it easier. And then they just and instead of like 3, they ended up doing 1, and he ended up looking like this. And Josh's argument is, in the movie, you can't see his legs, so he's only got 2 legs. But my argument was that just because you don't see them doesn't mean that they don't exist.
True. I mean, you can't. He might have 6 legs. We don't know.
Well, we know.
He could be like a snake under there.
Yeah. He might not have legs.
I'm just saying it's because it's in the comic books that he has 2.
But we... We...
In the canon comic books, him and his brother both have 2.
But we know that... We know that don't.
Maybe it's connected to that table. I mean, maybe, you know, just saying.
It's cyborg.
We just don't know.
Okay, so anyways, here is all of the links for everyone on the podcast this week. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for being on, Hunter and Star.
My pleasure.
Christian was sad that he wasn't able to be on this week, but he will be back. You can also catch us on Patreon. Thank you again for everyone that is on a Patreon. We have a lot of content coming your way. We also have a
lot of new unboxing videos coming your way too. We're also on Instagram. Our new character of the week this week is the clone. Is the clone Oddball.
Love it.
So that's super, super exciting. We're also on Twitter at StuffPod. Yep. I'm lagging out, aren't I? No.
You're okay.
We are on Twitch.
Twitch? Yeah, we're also on Twitch at SWStuff77. And then basically, let me check one second. He's gone to go reset the router. Okay. So, for your expectations of what the next episode is going to be for that the Bad Batch, what are you guys expecting? You want something more serious? Do you guys want something?
I would like something more serious. At this point, I honestly have no idea because we went from serious.
How many episodes are we getting? Like 22? Is it like 22? It's a lot. Like
I thought it was 16.
16? Okay.
Maybe. I don't know.
Because we have a lot of episodes coming, and I was like, I wonder how they're going to balance this. So it'll be interesting to be. I wonder if we'll have like a dual episode. So like we had what they Tech and Wrecker and Omega was doing on this day, but also have what the rest of them were doing on the same day and see what was going on.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm pretty excited to see where the show ends up going. I mean, I think we're all expecting something emotionally damaging, but everyone's bracing for it. You back, Colin? I guess he's still not back. Hold on.
Okay.
Back?
It's fine. It's fine. I don't know. It's all right. Well, everyone, thank you so much for listening. May the force be with you always.